Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Globalport Holdings conference call. I will now hand over to Ms. Asla Suhatta. Ma'am, please go ahead.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Globalport Holdings PLC's first quarter 2017 results conference call. This is Asla Suhatta from Investor Relations, and today the CEO, Mr. Emir Sayın, and the senior management team are present to give you the highlights of the first quarter and answer the questions you may have. Now, I'm giving the ground to the CEO. Emir?
Okay. Thank you, Asla. Hi, everyone. First of all, let me apologize if my voice is not so clear, because right now, my CFO, Ferda, and I are sitting in a room in a hotel in Lisbon because we have our GM meeting, and this was the only time available for us to do this call. Business is going on, and we thought it would be better to actually run the business and do the call from here. Let me start by saying that first of all, the first quarter for our business is naturally a quiet period. It's the least busy period for the commercial business and especially the cruise business. It would be good to take this into account when we look at numbers and fluctuations. We still have the majority of the year in front of us. Having said that, let's start looking at the numbers. I'm going to start with the profitability numbers, with EBITDA. In Q1, our EBITDA grew by almost 5%, and margins actually improved from 59%-63%. Just from the margins alone, you can see that in the coming quarters, our margins will go up because, again, revenues will be much higher. That will drive higher EBITDA numbers in the upcoming quarters, and this is natural in our business, I repeat. One element that I need to highlight and give to you as an explanation is a decision we made regarding a renovation project in Ege Ports, our biggest cruise port in Turkey. We were looking at an opportunity to renovate the shopping mall in Ege Ports, in Kuşadası. Since the renovation would involve closing down the shopping mall, we had postponed it up to now because it would eventually lead to a loss of business. Now that the business is relatively quiet in Turkey, and since Q1 is a low quarter anyway, we decided that this would be the best time to bite the bullet and make this renovation. We have closed down the shopping mall in the first quarter and also throughout April, and we have made the renovations. Now the shopping mall is up and running, and we have caught the season. Of course, since we closed down the whole retail space, this will have an impact, and this has an impact in our numbers, especially in terms of retail rentals, and that has a big impact on our ancillary revenues in Ege Ports. Since Ege Ports is very important in terms of rentals and ancillary revenues, obviously this is impacting our EBITDA number. Without this, our EBITDA growth would have been higher and revenues would have been higher. I just wanted to explain this first. Looking at our EBITDA again, we grew 5% given this renovation. Without the renovation, when I look at the numbers, the cruise EBITDA would have actually been growing in double digits in this quarter. The rest of the business seems to be doing fine. And on the commercial side, in terms of profitability, we're also doing quite okay this quarter, although we have some hiccups in terms of volumes, and I will come to that. In terms of passenger numbers, I think it's a good quarter. It's giving us good signs. Our passenger numbers grew 23% versus last year, and 12% organically. So if we don't take into account the Italian ports, we still grew 12%. And if we were to take into account the ports where we are minority, like Singapore and Lisbon, we actually grow as a total base. We actually grew 31%. The reason why that number is higher is because Singapore has been extending its season, and it's now actually showing record numbers in Q1, and this is a very good development. So all in all, our total base grew 31%. Our consolidated base grew 23%. So these are, I think, good numbers, good potential for the future. Let's look at the volumes a little bit on the commercial side. I'll start with general cargo. On the cargo side, we grew 8.7%. Of course, this is a mix of the general cargo coming from Antalya and Adria port. In Adria, due to steel coil, the numbers were actually not so great, not up to our expectation. But Antalya performed really well in terms of general cargo, and this is due to cement. And the mix effect gives us almost 9% growth quarter on quarter. When I look at the container side, there's a slight decrease in TEU, but I think this is mainly due to a shift between quarters in Antalya and also one of the MSC ports being in strike. That port has connecting lines to Port Adria, and so that has created some shift in numbers. But when I look at our current situation, we are seeing that both the container numbers in Antalya and in Adria are looking up, and we are ahead of last year. So I'm not really concerned about this, and I think the commercial business is actually going quite well. So the combined effect of these movements in volume gives us an almost flat revenue number for the total business. When you look at the cruise side versus the commercial side, you see that because of the renovation, the impact of the renovation, we see a slight decrease in cruise revenues. If you don't take into account the renovation number, there's actually growth in terms of revenues. On the commercial side, again, revenues are pretty much in line with last year, just slightly below, and that's due to some staffing revenues and wharfage fees in Adria, which was due to competition with private warehouses in the vicinity. But Adria again has, at the end of the quarter or at the beginning of the second quarter, succeeded in signing agreements with the biggest forwarder in Bar, and they will make up for these losses in de-stuffing or unstuffing side of the revenues. Again, when I look at how things are progressing in terms of revenue, obviously in line with the increase in TE volumes, I expect the revenues to recover and look up going forward. And on the commercial side, I'm quite positive that we will be in line with our plans, with our targets as of the end of Q2. So basically at the end of first half, I expect the commercial business to be very much in line with our targets. So all in all, I would say, you know, except for these effects that are compared to the total year, actually not very material, we are in line with our expectations and we are keeping our outlook the same as we announced during the IPO process. So with that, I want to open up the Q&A session, and as a team, we will try to answer your questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now start our question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding until we have our first question. Our first question comes from Mark McVicar, Barclays. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you. I have actually sort of call it three questions. First question is on the Turkish passenger numbers. You know, we've seen recently quite a big pickup in some of the airport traffic. So Antalya, you know, was up 38% in May, and year to date that's up 13%. And if you look at the, you know, Istanbul, Ankara, Izmir, you know, they're flat at worst year on year, and the run rates are improving. Are you seeing some of that return of clearly tourism to Turkey reflected in your cruise call plans? Or if I read the statement, you're still being quite cautious about the outlook for Turkey's passengers this year?
So, yes, thank you, Mark. I think what you mentioned is a good trend, is a good sign for us. And as I said during you know, meetings with our investors, what's really important for us at this point for the Turkish market is the sentiment, the consumer sentiment. And what you highlight shows that the sentiment is not going down, and in fact it's starting to pick up. Having said that, the reason why we are cautious is because of the way our industry works, and we have high visibility, which is a great advantage, but also that also prevents the comeback from happening very fast. The cruise lines have to, I think, have to feel this positive sentiment and decide to actually divert calls again to Turkey. That's why we are being cautious. In fact, throughout my presentations, I have said over and over again, a pickup in the numbers in 2017 in the Turkish ports would be, for us, that's not what we're planning for. But of course, we're pushing for it, and we're you know, we are communicating these positive changes in the tourism numbers in Turkey with the cruise lines, and trying to convince them to come back to Turkey sooner rather than later. However, I would not change our outlook from flat to increasing for 2017 yet.
Okay, that's great. My second question is, could you say a little bit about the inorganic development, so the new concessions that you talked about through the IPO process, and perhaps particularly just pick up on where you think you are on Dubrovnik and the Caribbean?
Sure. So, as you might have realized, I didn't mention anything because I don't think there's anything material enough to report at this point, and it's only been a month. But our efforts are continuing. In fact, we did have an important visit from Cuban government officials to three of our ports in Europe, and I believe the discussions moved further, and I'm seeing positive developments, but we are not, as I said, for Cuba, we're not ready to make an announcement yet, but I'm keeping a positive outlook. The same for the Bahamas project and the rest. In terms of the Dubrovnik, the latest development has been the local elections. Finally, we were kind of waiting for the local elections to happen, and they did happen very recently. And the party that's leading the government right now, central government, won the elections, and I think that is what we were expecting, and it's good news for us. So I think this is a positive development for us, but I am again being cautious in not announcing a date at the moment for Dubrovnik. I want to keep it at that at this point.
Okay, thank you. My next question was, you mentioned in volume terms that if you include the non-consolidated ports, essentially Venice, Lisbon and Singapore, that takes the total passenger number up by 31%. Could you just be a little bit more specific about the growth rates in those three ports?
Yeah, as I said, this is mainly due to Singapore. And as you know, the season in Singapore is actually the whole year. They have a very mild climate, and as far as we are concerned, you can cruise year-round in Singapore. But traditionally, in the industry, people do not cruise so much during the winter. We've been trying to change that, and we've been trying to work with cruise lines to extend the season, and this is finally paying off, and Singapore is receiving more calls in Q1, and that's reflected on the passenger numbers. It's actually also reflected to their revenues and EBITDA. Unfortunately, we do not consolidate Singapore, so we will see the impact in terms of our net income, but not in terms of our EBITDA. I also want to highlight that since Q1 is such a silent period for us, and the passenger numbers are so small in Europe, that a spike in the numbers in Singapore actually has a very positive effect on the numbers. If this happened in Q3, for example, we would not have felt the effect so much.
Sure. Okay, I understand. And my final question was, in the consolidated accounts that you've given at the back, you've shown the depreciation and amortization. Clearly, that includes the amortization of the port operating rights. Could you just tell us how big that port operating right amortization number was?
I will give it to our finance team to tell you how big the amortization number is. But let me just tell you that it's quite a big number, because every time we get a concession, that is counted as part of the amortization rights. And the number should be, Sarda, can you help me here?
Yes, the amortization number, approximately $40 million, 30 million is related to concessions agreements, concession fee, concession amortization.
I get that's the number for the year. What was the split in Q1, if you have that, please?
Year the number is the according to 2016 year end numbers. Total number is the total amortization number is the 40 million US dollars.
think he's asking the total number, not the yearly amortization.
Yeah, so the quarterly number for D&A is 10.1 in both Q1 16 and 17. My question was, if you had it, how much of that was the port operating rights amortization, so we can work out what the normal depreciation is.
Right.
Let me maybe add on. This is the depreciation is distributed evenly over the quarters, so it's one quarter of the yearly charge of 30 million, 7.5 for the first quarter 2017.
Okay, that's brilliant. Thank you very much. That's all my questions. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Kenny Yang, GIC. Please go ahead.
Hi. Can you shed a bit more light on Bahamas and the progress around that? I mean, where are we in the stage of evaluation? And since
Hello?
Hi, hello. Did you hear my question?
No, you cut off in the middle of your sentence. I heard Bahamas, but I didn't hear the question exactly. Could you please repeat?
Yes, I was wondering if you could shed more light on the progress around Bahamas. Specifically, what stage of the discussions are we at? Where are we, and what are the hurdles that you see in the discussions going forward? And related to that would be, outside of Bahamas and Cuba, is there anything else that you have in your pipeline at this stage, or is management time fully focused on these two parts of the acquisitions?
Okay, so let me try to answer your first part of your question first. We are at the stage of we are working towards a memorandum of understanding with the government of Bahamas, so the next stage, I think, would be signing an MOU with them. And we have another visit coming up next week, actually. And I think the hurdle would be, educating the government and trying to form a mutual understanding. And, this will take some time, but I think we are making good progress there. So the next stage would be signing the MOU and continuing thereafter. In terms of other projects, of course, these two projects that I mentioned are both of them are very big projects, very important projects. We do spend a lot of time and effort on those, but we do also continue progressing in other areas. I just mentioned Dubrovnik, and close to Dubrovnik, Zadar is continuing, and we are progressing with the government of Gibraltar. We have actually submitted a plan to the government, and they also did visit a couple of our ports. We are having discussions with actually the Russian government for St. Petersburg, and St. Petersburg is also at about the same stage, I would say, as Bahamas. And there are a number of other projects continuing, but I would say these are the closest to the finish line in terms of going into actual project phase, so to speak.
And finish line, do you mean by the end of this year?
Well, I think I think it would be, you know, it would be hard to say that that all of these projects will be finished by the end of the year, but it's a possibility, yes. So the framework I'm talking about is, you know, within a year from now. And I wouldn't be surprised if we got positive news from one or more of these projects before this year ends. That's what I'm counting on, in fact.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Robert Bondi Frege, Blue Crest Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, and thank you for the call. Just a quick question. Can you give us an update a bit more specific on Cuba, I guess, so you're meeting with, on the Cuban government side. Is there any, we've had some negative headlines out of the U.S. on the administration and versus Cuba. Does that figure into your plans? Should we be concerned at all about the outlook for the Cuban port?
Well, thank you, Robert. I think that's a valid concern. We are also following the news. I think at this point, these are just news. There's been no action that we are aware of or that the Cuban government is aware of. And we also have to take into account that, currently the customers of the port in Cuba are mostly European cruise lines like MSC, like Celestial, and American companies just very recently actually got approval from the Cuban government to send one ship each. And by the time we build this project and develop the port, of course it will take time. And I think, you know, we will have a much better idea how, you know, whether this will just blow over or whether there will be a more cautious progress, both, you know, on the side of the Cuban government and the U.S. government. If you read the news carefully, it wasn't really an official announcement or anything. It was just a speculation that Mr. Trump might reconsider what has been done by the Obama administration to improve the relations. Again, you know, it may just be speculation and stay at that as well. So we do not necessarily think this will impact us in a negative way, but I think we have a lot of time to react. And by react, I mean we mentioned this already, our project in Cuba is in phases, and we will start with constructing and renovating one pier first, then we will do the other pier, and then we have even further phases planned up. So depending on how things develop, we can pace ourselves. So I'm not that concerned about this, but we do follow the developments very carefully.
Gotcha. Is there any way maybe to negotiate the price down with the Cuban government or negotiate a better deal?
I do not think so, because the way we are going about this is not like it's not like a typical tender process. It's more like developing these ideas together with the government, and the nature of the project is more like a trusted advisor and expert management of the port, rather than just an outside investor in the port. So again, you know, I think it's based on mutual consent and developing the businesses together. So we're not really in that kind of a negotiation environment. That's what I'm trying to say.
Got you. Okay. And one last question, if I may. Can you give us an update on how the marble shipments to China were doing in the quarter?
So most of the TEU volumes that I mentioned, which are slightly below last year's first quarter, are, as you know, marble exports. And they are all, you know, mostly going to China anyway. Like I said, the first quarter being, again, a weak quarter traditionally for the business, we saw similar numbers to last year. There was one ship that moved to the second quarter. Even that impacts the numbers. You know, if that ship was part of the first quarter, its first Q numbers would have been above last year's. But having said that, things are actually going well. And as of now, when I look at the TEU numbers, we are actually comfortably above last year, and so I don't have any concerns. And now that May and June and July are coming, our numbers last year will actually dip down, so our comparisons will look much better, and the business is going strong anyway. So I'm not concerned about the marble business at all.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. It's great to have the forward-looking color also. Thank you.
Thank you.
We have no other questions at this time. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to remind you, if you have any further questions, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes from Nazi Kalkadi, FIM Partners. Please go ahead.
Hello, thank you very much for hosting this call. I have a couple of questions from my side on the cruise traffic. You've mentioned that the total passengers increased 22%. With 12% organic, but then we see the revenues down. It means that yields are probably down in the tune of the double digits. Can you comment on that, please?
So, yes. So the reason why revenues are down when passenger numbers are up is, basically two things. One, cruise revenues being impacted by this renovation, which was a conscious decision for us. It's a one-off thing, but we decided to close down the shopping mall for renovation, which means we didn't receive the rentals coming from the shops in the shopping mall, and that decreases the cruise revenues. In general, so that's one reason.
How big is rental out of your old cruise business? How big is rental revenue of one, basically one shopping mall in one port? I mean, is it significant?
Well, first of all, yes, it is significant for Q1 because, as I said, Q1 is a very low quarter. Since the traffic is low, the rental revenues or the ancillary revenues become unproportionately big in Q1, comparatively.
Okay.
Because they are flat
normally,
and the cruise traffic is down. They are, so on the average, the ancillary revenues, most of which is actually retail and rental, is 25% of our business. So I don't know this number off the top of my head, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was more than half of our business in Q1, maybe even 60-70%, because the traffic is very low in Q1. No one cruises in Q1 in Europe.
That makes sense.
Okay, so that's one reason. The other reason is our passenger numbers are up generally, but as we mentioned this throughout, they are down in Turkey because of you know, what happened in 2016. Now, the Turkish ports have unusually high revenue per passenger and profitability. So even though in terms of passenger numbers we're doing okay, the mix effect, especially in Q1, is affecting the revenues. And so the, you know, exchanging one passenger in Turkey versus one passenger in the other port does not necessarily close the gap in revenues or increase it in that.
Okay.
In Turkey, revenue per passenger, cruise passenger, is higher than the Europe because of Turkey covers the marine revenue also. There is a marine revenue in Turkish operation, Turkey operations. So in European operations, not cover the marine revenues. So comparing with the revenue per passenger, for example, I'm giving an example. In Turkey, revenue per passenger, $20. In Europe, this number goes down as some ports goes down the €5 and €6. So there is a passenger increase, but don't compensate the revenue down to Turkey.
Yeah. So the marine services are, it's actually a separate concession that we have in Turkey, as Ferda highlighted, which actually drives up the revenue per passenger.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense. And just maybe to so just to finish, if you exclude the mix effect and the shopping mall effects, without giving any numbers, but overall, do you feel any weakness in terms of passenger spending or rates or anything like that, or in terms of a like for like, in a sense, are we flat to up?
Okay, just a second. So let me talk about, I actually, well, in terms of, I don't have the revenue numbers in my mind, but I think in terms of EBITDA numbers, if we just include the shopping mall, in terms of EBITDA, we actually, the margin would have been positive. It actually would have been double-digit growth in Q1. So just that alone, I think, gives me comfort. But also, when I look at where we are losing, you know, revenues from, is some of it is due to, well, as I said, the shopping mall and the mix effect, Turkey versus others. There's also some depreciation of euro to dollars that's working negatively on the cruise side in terms of revenues. And yeah, we lost some commercial berthing in Malta. That's another reason. Commercial berthing means sometimes the piers, the big piers that we have for the cruise ports, we can rent them out to commercial vehicles for berthing when there's no cruise ship that day. And that also gives us some additional revenues. And Malta was expecting, or they had, you know, a certain number of commercial vehicles last year. This year they didn't get them, so that creates a gap. But all in all, what I'm trying to say is, these are effects that you would not normally feel in any other quarter. Since Q1 is low in terms of passenger numbers, small things like commercial vehicles, not commercial ships, not berthing at the pier in Malta becomes an effect in our revenue numbers in Q1. So that's why I'm not really too concerned about the you know, the cruise side, cruise revenue numbers. In fact, I think the first quarter in terms of cruise is probably around 10% of the year, the volume. So that's how small it is.
Okay, that makes sense. And just obviously quick one in terms of the EBITDA margin expansion. Do you think that expansion is sustainable to in the long term?
Yeah, I think so. First of all, one reason why margins are good is because when we look at the container volumes, for example, although the TEU number is slightly below last year, when you look at the full containers, the numbers are actually up even in Q1. The TEU number, the container number that we report is the sum of empty containers and full containers. And obviously, full containers bring a lot more revenue. And that, I think, shows the strength already. And in the full TEU numbers, we are seeing much better comparisons at the end of April and at the end of May. So that side is the most important revenue stream and profit source on our commercial business. That's looking healthy. That gives me comfort. And also the dynamics that we're talking about in Q1 on the cruise side will not be valid starting with Q2 and going into for the rest of the year. So I do not see any reason to be pessimistic about what we projected during the IPO.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you have any further questions, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to remind you, if you have any further questions, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. We have no further questions. Dear speaker, back to you for the conclusion.
Well, first of all, thank you for joining our first quarterly trading update for Global Ports PLC. And I hope to talk to you again at the end of the first half of this year. Unless you have any other questions before that, we are more than happy to answer and help out. Thank you very much.
This concludes today's conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.